Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
I need to issue a retraction of sorts, because last time I said that because the episode was the 3rd of September 2011, they were thinking about 9/11. It'll actually be this one they were thinking about because this aired on the 10th of September 2011. So, you know, they are waiting for this. The girl who waited.
Waited what? What did she wait? All right. Oh my God! What just happened there? Did you? I don't know why you did that.
I explode. Okay. So directed by Nick Curran.
It happens.
Nick Curran has a fascinating career. Directed and we got Little Black Book. With Ron Livingston and Brittany Murphy. And it's a boy-girl thing with Kevin Zegers and Samara Armstrong, which has a very famous poster where she's a man spreading and he's crossing his legs and I'm like, huh? So obviously he was a guy to go for. He goes on to God Complex and Asylum of the Daleks, Angels Take Manhattan, and then Day of the Doctor. And he does like... Sherlock stuff and Altered Carbon stuff like that. So he's like an actual director, you know. And Tom McRae wrote this, and he writes the Cybermen Age of Steel. And after this, he writes a TV show Threesome, and then he works on the Librarian TV show Librarians. More like waiting for overdue books. Fuck psychiatric. So in the sentence, Doctor Who and his friends go to a space resort, which turned out to be quarantined through time zones, which they only find out when Amy goes back to her camera and she goes with the wrong one and she gets separated. And then Rory finds her and she's been there for years and years and years. She's gotten older. She resents Doctor Who for doing that to her and she refuses to let her younger self be saved because it would mean that she would die. But then they manage to rescue younger her. And the doctor lets older Amy die and they escape. They drop a very important thing into this that it's very important. I think you'll agree that Doctor Who owns DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he owns DVDs. He's like, I'm going to, you know, chuck on, I don't know, Spider-Man 3 later on DVD, you know, just... Chill night. This is the thing.
I want to say this entire episode would not have happened if Rory had just said press the top button, or if Amy had at any point just been like, which button? But anyway, this is just a lesson that, you know, specify, be specific, folks. Just say what button to press. Can I say, I was really looking forward to rewatching this episode, and I was like so confused for 15 to 20 minutes because I thought that it was like, how do I describe this? I remembered the whole like old Amy and young Amy being in the same timeline way earlier. I thought like the split happened earlier and that the like they acknowledge that there were two different people earlier. And then this time I was like, oh, they just land in the future of her timeline. It's like, and that's it. And she's old now. Mm-hmm. And at no point I was like, wait, but what made them land that later? There's a moment where Rory's like, this is your fault, Doctor. I was like, but is it? Like, what did he? He is just as surprised as you. Like, there's no. It wasn't like a choice that led to the creation of old Amy. We do later find out that it was her choice that led to the creation of old Amy. And I do like that. But I was missing. I spent like half of this episode being like, why did they land so late? You know, like what happened? Mm-hmm. What went wrong? I feel like it was missing just a scene of Rory being like, we have to land here. And the Doctor's like, I don't know. That's too dangerous. Let's land there. Oh, Doctor, if you had landed here, you wouldn't have landed 36 years later. I feel like that was missing something. Even if later we go, actually, that's not what happened. Fine. But I feel like there needs to be a reason why they land so later. Then again, there was no reason why he landed so later the first time in the 11th hour. You know, he just did. But I guess the difference is like in that one, it's not like Amy was immediately like, this is your fault. You fucked up. He did fuck up, but like his fuck up was like minimal. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to make is like, I felt like I spent like the first 20 seconds just being very confused about the episode.
It really moves at a really like breakneck pace. Like the cold open is so low key, and then it's just moving. That I think that kind of scene just kind of doesn't get time to be thrown in because they're doing so much in a kind of conveyor belt fashion. It feels like a real kind of cheap. Not cheap as in like presentation wise, but cheap as in like they had a very limited kind of budget set aside because it makes really good use of the three corridors that it uses again and again and again. I mean, I'd posit like you can the way they use the corridors is really good. But like even just from how it's a very simple idea of, you know, this person getting old and this kind of quandary happening, but within that I have a really weird kind of thing, which is that like it's crazy that like the dedicated episode to Amy is about Rory, and that it just becomes an episode about how cool Rory is.
Yes,
yeah,
actually, yeah, that really is a good point.
A really weird way to take that episode about like someone who like won't even let their younger self be rescued because it will mean that they, you know, even though they'll be rescued, they'll also die. And like, it just becomes like, remember in Rory, that really funny thing in school? Oh yeah, that was really funny. Anyway, let's keep walking and drop another anecdote. You know, it's a really weird, the creative choice. But I just think, yeah, I think it just moves really quickly and it moves at like a really kind of steady pace. It's clearly filmed at the same time as next week's, so obviously all Matt Smith can do is stand around on set being like, and walk down this corridor and walk down that corridor while James Corden's outside the door kind of gyrating in his little mouse costume. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing because it is a really interesting idea of like, you know, what happens when you get older and you know there's a chance that you'll never have to live those years, but you don't want to take that chance because it means that it will be for nothing kind of ultimately. But like, I do think it's just kind of strange that it becomes the Rory hour within that rather than being like Rory kind of playing a kind of featured role rather than being like the kind of main kind of role of it, I guess.
I also think that the conclusion of it was Amy hurting herself all along is great. Mm-hmm. Karen Gillan really sells the face acting.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that old Amy as a character, she's so combative. There's bits of it that I really like, and that's the bits with Rory, like when she's going to go put on some lipstick, like when she's looking at him and wondering if she still thinks she's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the bits that work. But the bits where she's like, I hate the doctor now because it's been 36 years. Oh, I'm like, okay, hold on. Stop. Can we like slow down? Like, it just feels like at no point someone was like, hold on, it's just been 5 seconds for us. You know, like, mm-hmm. like can we slow down a little bit? I feel like the characters say this, but I mean in the sense of like, you kind of want to see a version of the scene where you see Amy like, oh, the doctor isn't coming. Where's the doctor? And then the doctor, like, she goes older or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid bit. It's a stupid note, but I feel like having that scene. Like, I don't know, like, you have the doctor and Roy. They say, we're going to go rescue her. They pull down the lever. You cut to Amy and she's waiting. And she keeps waiting. And time passes. And then she grows old. And then you see them land. I feel like maybe that would have worked a little bit better.
Hmm. I think what it maybe needs is for it to be just fully from her perspective. And then...
Yes. Yeah, actually, like, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And like halfway through, then Arthur Darville like bumbles in. It's like, it's only been 5 seconds for us. What are you talking about? Like, why are you old? And then you can play from there rather than it being like you see her walking around and then Milda Staunton's like, you know, the computer, hello. And then it's Rory then for like the majority of the kind of 15 minutes.
Because every she says, I reprogrammed the computer and the computer acts exactly the same. So I'm like, did you know? But also, I'm like, the thing I also want to say, there's that bit at the beginning where they do this one take shot where they show like Rory walking out of the room. He presses the button, goes into the room. There's no one. Then he walks out, goes back into the first room. That's such a good shot. I'm like, if that was Amy though, like what if that was Amy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we stuck around from Amy's perspective the entire time and we did that shot from her perspective, I feel like that would be so scary.
Mm-hmm.
If she like, yeah, she just like step out and ooh, the TARDIS is gone. Oh, wait, what's going on? Huh? Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh. And so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. What would be even more scary for her is the fact that the look in the garden she goes into at that one point, that has like the veranda. It's a famous location they use a lot, but one of the more notable recent uses for this run that we're on was it was the garden in Erasmus Darkening's house in Sarah Jane. So she might run into Erasmus Darkening and he would be like, oh, you disappoint me, Amy Pond. And then she was like, you're a shit magician. He was like, no. It also gets used in Deep Breath at the end of Deep Breath. And it's in Torchwood, I think. I think it might be the garden they use for the wedding and something borrowed in Torchwood.
Don't they also use it for Missy?
Yeah, that's in Deep Breath. Like she's having a tea party, and that's and then the guy's like, "Oh, you thought I was going to the Promised Land?" And she's like, "Yeah, well, you know, you're here." And then he's like, "Okay," and he sits down. And he just kind of sits there. Yeah, I do think for an episode called "The Girl Who Waited," there's not a lot of girl in it, you know. It's very kind of the time stream stuff, especially, is very kind of like series 4 Signs of the Library kind of stuff. But like, yeah, I think it's kind of annoying that like it does set up the whole thing of like her being like, no, you're not going to rescue me, and then it doesn't really get a chance to interrogate, you know, the whole thing of like, I don't want to be rescued because it means that this was all for nothing, that I wasted 36 years. Even though it would mean that I would not waste those 36 years. Like that.
Yeah, it's like it's like we have not seen those 36 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you are talking about something that both the audience and both Rory and the doctor are like, we have no idea what you're talking about, you know? So it's like it's such a needlessly complicated. Yeah, the fix you suggested of just having the story be from her perspective the entire time would work so much better, because then when she's like, I don't want to die, you go, actually, we don't want her to die either, because we've seen her go through these like 36 years.
Whereas in the version they're doing now, it's like, it's assuming that you'll care because you know who she is usually, whereas like, you need that context of like, we get to see more than just 5 minutes of what she got up to, you know, when she, because like the 5 minutes we get is when she's young. So like that sudden time skip is like, it doesn't really land as it should, because we kind of like,
we just saw her as young.
Yeah. Whereas like, if you're building up to like, you know, her getting older, so like it needs that kind of twist of the that dynamic a little bit more than it gets, which is unfortunate. Because I really do think it is strange that it is just a Rory episode rather than, you know, an Amy episode, but like, it is just unfortunate that it kind of gets the short end of the stick, because it's not really giving us a chance to even just take a breath and just be like, okay, you know, here's our situation, here's what's happening. Because like, the idea that like the villain is, you know, like the hand bots are an interesting idea. Like they're like, the design is kind of like striking minimalism and stuff like that, but like, it is just missing that last kind of twist or turn to really kind of bed it into
where it needs to be. Like the fact that there's no one else here, and they do sort of explain that you just can't see everyone else, could have been used for a last twist. Like, I don't know about you, but like, if I was in this facility, I would want to talk to other people. So I'm like, where is everyone else? Although I do like that this is like one of the few episodes that has such a small cast list. I'd say like the smallest is Heaven Sent and Wild Blue Yonder, right? Because Heaven Sent literally is just two people.
And then, yeah, then Wild Blue Yonder is
just them, two and people.
And then Wilf, I guess, at the end as well.
Oh, like, yeah. Good point.
I do like how it continues the trend in series 5. Did series 5 really do a... I don't think it did, but the series 6 has a trend that continues on the next year of they get a very famous actor and they stick them doing a voice role for like, you know, kind of I think Michael Sheen is more unrecognizable than Imelda Staunton, because Imelda Staunton's just kind of doing her usual voice, but it is interesting that she has like 5 seconds of airtime as the voice of a computer, and then that's about it. And then obviously next time you have Ian McKellen in the Christmas special in series 7 to continue that trend of, you know, thing. But it is a bit of a wild cast thing to be like, we're going to get like this Oscar nominee who is like, you know, one of the finest stage actors in the UK, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. You know, is she going to be like, you know, is she going to be the older Amy? Is she going to play like, you know, a character she meets? No, she's going to play the voice of computer, and the computer only speaks for maybe 2 minutes, and then it's not really a character.
It has no emotion.
Yeah, and doesn't like work as like an antagonist or anything. Just it's just a computer that speaks. I mean, like this is vaguely unrelated, because like, obviously, you know, Imelda Staunton's in Vera Drake. She's kind of like, she's in like that Mike Lee kind of mode. When's Timothy Spall gonna show up? Because like that guy has, they have to ask that guy to do something at this point. You know?
Yeah, that one is that's a good point. That he's is he not? Actually, let's TARDIS wiki him. Let's go. Timothy Spall.
Shoot, he's gonna meet Mr. Turner in a sequel to Mr. Turner, and it's gonna be Mr. Turner too.
No results. Wow. That's so rare to see in the TARDIS wiki.
Because, like, most of, like, I mean, All or Nothing, the Mike Lee film, Leslie Manville, obviously, is in Adventure in Space of Time. James Corden is in that movie in what is probably his best performance, and he's just obviously, you know, he's Craig in the way. So why isn't Timothy come? Get Timothy Spall and go like.
Is he too busy? Is he too busy? You're really telling me he's just too busy.
Okay, what is Timothy Spall up to today? And I'll open a live feed and see if someone's doing a live cam of Timothy Spall's house. See what he's doing. See if he's see if he's just walking around his garden, you know, doing bits and bobs.
I told that Briggs man to get away from me.
Get away from me, you fucking. Timothy Spall is in. Okay. I'm just looking at Timothy Spall is in Wolf Hall. I didn't want to do that because I was going to rhyme. He's in Wolf Hall last year. He's in a TV show called Death Valley playing eccentric national treasure John Chappell, who was the star of a fictional detective TV show called Caesar. It seems to be a whodunit series where he solves crimes with an actual detective, but he's like playing like David Suchet, which, okay, this actually sounds kind of cool.
Good idea. I like that. Yeah.
This sounds really cool. This is set this year. Put that on your list, Death Valley.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, but he's also in the thing that gave me pause. He's in the Indiana Jones Chronicles. That's cool. Thing that gave me pause. He's in a production of Hamlet. He's in the Riz Ahmed Hamlet movie.
Interesting.
It's been set in modern day London, where Riz Ahmed plays Hamlet and he plays Polonius, with Art Malik of Ghost Monument fame as Claudius.
Curious about that. Any Hamlet that's like, we're going to put it in a modern day setting, I'm like, great. Good luck. Let's see. I want to see what that looks like.
Well, this time it will have Timothy Spall and Joe Alwyn. So you know those stands are going to be crazy for this movie. I do want to say on Joe Alwyn, just very briefly, again, unrelated. It was really funny seeing a lot of Taylor Swift fans be like, why the hell is he in this movie, The Brutalist? What does he deserve being in this movie? And he's good in that movie. He is good in that movie, but it's kind of funny to see people, they're still going on to that. They wouldn't do that to Timothy Spall, though. Unless tomorrow it was revealed that Timothy Spall and Taylor Swift were seeing each other, and that was like the big new power couple, and they split up. could you imagine, like, just waking up and like Timothy Spall scene with I don't know. I'm doing everything I can do not to talk about how I have no more notes. I mean, Rory has a good point. Rory has a good point that also I don't think is a good point, where he's like, you know, you're trying to turn me into you. You're making me do all this stuff, and it's like, I think the point that he has about, like, you know, traveling with him kind of turns you into something else is a good point, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's like consciously being like, you know, he's turning Rory into him because Matt Smith couldn't physically be there on set, so
that's why.
Yeah, rather than being like, you know, a plot point that I think makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Like this whole run of episodes, it's been a real thing of like, it feels like they're treading water to the finale, and it's like a load of like setups that sound good, and then the execution isn't quite there. Like, let's kill Hitler. You know, you hear that, like, that premise of like they're gonna go back in time, and it's gonna be like, you know, are they gonna try and like stop someone killing Hitler or whatever, and it turns out to be like, no, they're gonna like exposition each other for half an hour. Night Terrors, is like, it's good, but like, as we said, like the ending kind of really undercuts everything they're going for. It really just feel like this run of episodes, they are like, they're getting stretched thin by a lot of different factors. And it does come together because, you know, I think, you know, we both agree that the finale of this is really good. But it feels like the journey there is very kind of stop start. And this episode, well, I think it's good. I think it's caught up in a lot of, you know, unnecessary tripwires, I guess.
Right.
And,
I also think that it does not help that all these episodes were sort of like moved around so much. Mm-hmm. So you can't even do the thing that Moffat can technically do and like sort of have like that continuous arc storyline. And that way is that like, that's why it sort of keeps stopping and starting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I also think, and this is nothing against Karen Gillan, who's obviously like, you know, consistently really good. I think they should have maybe gotten like an actress who was older to play older Amy than to put her in the old age makeup, because there is a lot of kind of like young person playing old acting kind of going on sometimes to compensate for the makeup. But mm-hmm. I think just
Makeup isn't bad. It's just that there's some moments and, there's some moments where they really light it so bad and it makes her look bloated.
Mm-hmm.
To certain degree, especially towards the end, it's like the worst they light it. But towards the middle, the parts where it matters, they do light it pretty well. It looks good. And Karen Gillan does do the face thing pretty well. But yeah, I do agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I do kind of wish I had more time to delve into the thing at the end when the doctor's like, I couldn't bring both of them. You know, there was no way in hell I was going to do that. Like, because that is like a classic doctor move of like, you know, promising something that he knows he can't deliver, but they didn't really get a chance to kind of bask in that moment because, you know, they had to move on to the next one. Because, like, strictly speaking, he did kind of kill Amy, but like, you know, it. There's a lot of like knotty and thorny things like that where like they don't have a chance to properly explore that because they're limited by like, you know, how much time they have and the structure they've put in place for themselves. But yeah, I don't know.
I do not know either. I ultimately had a good time with this episode, but I think looking back on it, it's one of those where I'm like, I don't know. Sort of pass.
Yeah.
But I will say, do you think Amy fucked the Rory robot?
I don't. And I also think the robot probably, once she's dead, that robot's probably like, what the hell am I to do now? Because, you know, it doesn't got any hands. It hasn't got any hands. And it's kind of just, you know, chilling out there. This is where I really wish that, like, if the computer had been like the antagonist, I think that's maybe also a step forward, because then you have like a tangible threat where it's like, you know, this computer kind of went overboard and locked everything down and like cut everyone off, and it's continuing to do this because it thinks it's the right thing to do. Because then, like, I know that's like a plot they've done like 50 times, but like it works for them, and like it gives Imelda Staunton something to do, and it gives like the computer like an actual kind of presence and something for Amy to be like, you know, this computer and I, it's like it can be like Portal, you know, where like, you know, you have GLaDOS and you have like Chell and stuff like that. You could have that kind of dynamic of like this computer is like, you know, begrudgingly accepting Amy, but like is also like, you know, you weren't meant to be here because we had sealed this all off. So, you know, I want to get rid of you, but also like I acknowledge that you're here, rather than it just being like, oh yeah, by the way, I fixed that computer thing and the computer's just doing what I wanted to do and all this stuff. I don't know. I think ultimately I appreciate the episode. I like the episode, but ultimately I think I'm just kind of like, there's like so many other things they could have done that would have been a little bit more interesting. But yeah, I don't know. The girl who waited, I hardly knew her. Timothy Spall. Timothy Spall, not even looking up Timothy Spall Doctor Who gives you like a fan casting or anything, just doesn't give you anything. He must have like paid Google to cut everything off, you know.
Yep. She waited.
She waited.
And she's going to keep waiting.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to wait for us to say goodbye.
Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour, Who Cast?
The rooms have things in them.
There's a room here for everyone, Doctor. Even you.
We're gonna catch ourselves a monster.
Here comes a candle to light you to bed. Here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Chop. 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 Thank you.